And then he says things like about garlic and onions or meat. It seems to get very vehement.
That's all traditional teaching. That's traditional teaching.
But not necessarily then that he was following it or expecting it in the ashram.
Garlic and onions, they avoid it in the ashram. Again, as part of tradition. One must cultivate the sensitivity and see for oneself.
But in areas other than diet...
Again, the same sensitivity is necessary, no?
Oh, yes.
Work. Some people like work. Some people are of active temperament. They must keep themselves busy. There was again a Swami in the ashram. As far as I was concerned, he was way ahead of all of us. Remarkable man. He's not very highly educated or whatever it is, but he was tremendous, wonderful person. If I was asked, apart from Swami Shivananda, who was the holiest man in those days, I would point out to him. But he could not sit during satsang and keep his head on his shoulders. If somebody started talking, he went down. If somebody started singing, unless he was also participating in it, his head went down. Not for 2 minutes was the maximum. But give his hand something to do, he did not sleep for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if you have ever had the little packets of ashes and so on that they sent around from the ashram.
We had it for Buddha's birthday.
Yeah, right. That sort of thing. Whenever he went to these satsangs and things like that, he carried a small packet of the ashes, the stack of these little paper, and he went on making packets there. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then he was all right. These rules and regulations published are found in the scriptures to translate and give them. Beyond that, one has to be tremendously alert and see what suits one. But it must be done. Whatever the problem is, must be dealt with.
I have a friend who doesn't like the idea of detachment because she recalls an experience in which she was detached from everything and had no feeling for her family, for anything at all in the world. And she was so glad to get out of that and to discover that she had feeling again. And so whenever we talk about detachment, she gets very upset.
Use the word freedom.
Yes.
No, don't use the word detachment. Use the word freedom.
Mm-hmm. Well, she wasn't, when she was in this state, she wasn't in a state of detachment. You wouldn't call it that.
Mm-hmm. I would call it vegetation. Amnesia type of thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Because when one is detached, one has... Well, she had no feeling, and I thought that that was one of the characteristics of the state of detachment, certainly.
Feelinglessness can come out of so many other... Detachment is not... Yes, I think we have used that word for too long. And it has picked up a lot of dirt. Change the word to freedom, then you will understand it more clearly.
Then there's a slightly positive emotion attached to it. I mean, it's looked upon as good, which means that there is a slight emotional tinge.
Emotions are there, yes? Emotions are also there, are part of the personality, part of the individual.
Yes.
They have their own specific field of activity. Let them do what they want to do there.
How do you mean?
When a little baby comes to you, you hug it. Oh, I love it. And the baby is gone. And the baby is gone. And the emotion also is gone. A thorn pricks your foot, immediately the eyes shed tears, the knees buckle, you sit down and start weeping, crying or pulling the thorn out. And that department is closed, get up and work. It is, does emotion necessarily get hooked on to memory? And does a passing experience, apart from evoking the appropriate emotion in you, does it also leave a residue? So that we constantly chew the cud. Not being a cow. That's the point. If I don't do that, I am free. It's as simple as that. That is freedom. The hands have a sense of touch. And when they touch something soft, it's nice, lovely. What's wrong with that? But when this experience is, this experience leaves a residue of memory, what they call vasana, then it craves for it.
I'm addicted to
it. Addicted to it. Which incidentally destroys it. A reason why the second experience does not give you the same thrill is because you are addicted to it and it doesn't give you the same feeling anymore. You are anticipating it already. It doesn't surprise you. You are anticipating it. And the absence of freedom, therefore, destroys the pleasure that you derive from it.
I always want to make sense of it. I want to understand how it is connected intellectually with everything that's gone before.
No. That's where the understanding is blocked.
Yeah.
Anything that connects the present with the past blocks the vision of the present, obstructs the vision of the present. And the abandonment of that is called non-attachment or freedom. I am free from the past so that I can experience the present with the greatest joy.
I keep thinking something dreadful is going to happen.
Let it, we'll see.
Yeah.
No. If you don't want to surrender. Surrender to your future? No. No, I won't do that. What for? It doesn't happen.
Well, surrender to the body instinct. The body is going to keep on doing its thing without this conscious control that I think I want to keep exercising.
Why not? Try.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And even there, I think the chakra meditation may be of tremendous help. Though, if I am doing it on my own without the help of a teacher or something, I must be able to distinguish What element is this? What is the predominant element in this, in the psychological difficulty that I have? For instance, if it is a total absence of self-control, let's say. A total absence of self-control is water. It tries to flow as without any sense of direction, taking the line of least resistance, never standing up to a problem, never trying to solve a problem by avoiding it, taking the line of least resistance. So this is my problem. So I constantly contemplate the water element. And strengthen it there. It can also be done with this purificative pranayama that we are doing. This is an evil tendency I have cultivated, a habit I have cultivated. The habit of loss of self-control. So, that is what I would like to overcome. I nearly clearly visualize it as being in the left side of the abdomen and burn it up. That's one advantage of, I think I mentioned that once the jiva is lifted up to the crown of the head, there are some yogis who don't bother about visualizing something in one particular part of the body, but they burn up the rest of it. Why not? What's wrong with it? The rest of it is useless. So that all impurities are destroyed. But it may be more fruitful if one is able to visualize something definitely and try to deal with it in that mystic process. Like self-hypnosis. Very much like self-hypnosis. The only problem or the difficulty lies in that I may not be able to see it as a problem. I may not be able to see it as a defect. I'm so attached to it that I feel fine, nice. And as you started saying, if that person felt alienated, not detached, right? There are two different things. Perhaps her problem was total alienation from the family. If she is detached, then people who are around her, they tell her that she is crazy, she is mad. You couldn't be detached from your children. You are responsible for them, this whole lot. And so, if we are conditioned to that type of thinking, that this kind of attachment is good, then I don't want to get out of it. As a matter of fact, it happened in India. I was living with an old couple. They were in their late 60s. And they treated me like a prince. One day I happened to open the door of my room and walk into the house. About few minutes before the gentleman would drive me to the place where there were lectures. And I saw this old woman brushing his hair, precious little, in just a few pieces left. And she was very fondly, affectionately doing this. I looked at it, my God. I never thought this romanticism in India. Good, it made me happy. That this old couple in their late 60s must still be so fond of each other. I went to South Africa and early 62, I think, I got a letter from this lady. Dear Swamiji, my husband so-and-so passed away just now. Please pray for him. And I took that just now to mean, you know, 10 days ago. But later I discovered it was just now. I believe this man came from an official function, and as he pulled in front of the house and walked into the house, he felt a bit dizzy or something. And he sat down on the floor, and she rushed to help him. And it seems he said, "I'm feeling very funny. Ask somebody to get some water." Someone went to fetch some water, somebody else went to fetch a doctor, and she put his head on her lap and was sort of, you know, massaging him. He passed on within minutes. And I believe as soon as this happened, she picked up the head and put it down on the floor. He's finished. Went to the study, wrote that letter. And from then on, they said, I talked to others. They said she was like a commander-in-chief. She organized all the funeral, took charge of all the arrangements. Didn't shed a tear, didn't whimper, didn't do a thing. And I believe everybody said that, she's gone off her mind. And wait till another a fortnight or a month or so, she will burst, etc., etc., etc. Nothing happened. Years went by, nothing happened. And then she explained, I loved him as long as he was alive. He had passed on. What do you want me to do with the body? Why must I cry? Mm-hmm. But people don't understand it. They think you're crazy, you're abnormal. You have to go to a psychiatrist. I don't know what the psychiatrist does. Probably syringe some water so that he could weep.
There's a psychiatrist now who makes people cry.
Primal scream.
Primal therapy, yeah.
Primal scream.
Jenna.
Crazy. Why don't we leave people alone? She's a marvelous person, wonderful person. And, you know, here, sometimes children call you by their name. Nobody would call an elder by their names, auntie, uncle, and so on. And in this house, this lady was not called by any relationship by anybody in the house. Everyone called her by her name, first name. Children, grandchildren also, servants, the cook, the garden boy.
How could that be? I thought the custom was...
The custom was quite the contrary. Mm-hmm. And it turned out eventually that I was the only one who called her mother. I didn't know the custom, otherwise I would also have fallen into it. I'm not fond of breaking customs. Mm-hmm. Nobody called her by any other name, her own name. Nobody, she that that was her philosophy. We have no relationship. When I was born, I was given this name, call me by that name, that's all.
Many emancipated parents who have their children call them by their names, and it's always seemed to me rather cold.
Yeah, right. Mm. It's funny because we are brought up in the other tradition. Mm. So detachment is not insularism, mm-hmm, or alienation, but freedom. And only in that freedom there can be love. ओम त्रयम बकम जामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकनिबन्धनम् मुक्तियोर्मुक्षीयमां ओम त्रयम बकम जामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकनिबन्धनम् मुक्तियोर्मुक्षीयमां ओम त्रयम बकम जामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकनिबन्धनम् मुक्तियोर्मुक्षीयमां सर्वेषां स्वस्ति भवतु सर्वेषां शान्तिर्भवतु सर्वेषां पूर्णं भवतु सर्वेषां मङ्गलं भवतु सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखवान् भवेत् हसतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिः।